sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and you know, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough and you control the media and the people never hear the truth, why, they're going to believe the lie. And this, tragically, is the situation we're in today. Fortunately, we do have alternative radio. Fortunately, we do have the Internet, and you can go up on the Internet and check many of the things that we say. And of course, remember, the enemies of freedom, are planting all sorts of false information on the Internet, so you've got to learn to be discerning, but at least you can get the truth there, and you can actually go up on the Internet, as I did yesterday, and pull down a recent article written by our guest today, Dr. Yazbek, who for many years was a pediatrician, but he's written extensively on the background of vaccinations. And this morning, we're going to be talking about really what we talked about yesterday, and that is the influenza vaccine that they're trying to get the American people to take. That is not only not effective, but it is not safe. And I want you to listen very carefully to what Dr. Yazbek has to say. But those of you who have listened to our program, you know that I'm concerned about the exploding incidence of Alzheimer's disease. And I often refer to Dr. Fudenberg's work. And Dr. Fudenberg is in his 80s now. I don't know if he's still with us, sir. But certainly he was the dean of vaccinologists in America. Trained most of them, and in his webpage, he talks about a paper he's written, and he has an abstract of it where he talks about, if you're foolish enough to take the influenza vaccine and to believe what you are told, and you're between 60 and 65, and you take 3 to 4 shots over a 5-year period, why 10 years later, why your incidence of Alzheimer's disease goes up 1,000%. So if you want to get Alzheimer's disease, you just go ahead and do what you're told. And if you'd like a copy of that abstract, or at least a page of the abstract, we do offer that, although you can get that up on the Internet. It's a little hard to find, but we have got it, and we pulled it off and made a copy of it, because we think it's so important. If you're concerned about your friends or your relatives, one of my best friends, a doctor who practiced me for years, much younger than I am, now is confined to a rest home with Alzheimer's disease. But he always took his influenza shots because he gave them to his patients and he believed what he was told. Well, with that as the background, let's talk about the new program to give the influenza vaccine to women in the first trimester of their pregnancy, to every child 6 months of age, and because after all, it's safe and effective, or is it? Dr. Yazbek, you pick up the story from there.
Well, good morning, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. It's good to have you with us.
Yes. Fine, thank you. It's good to be here. And I want to give you some good news, is that Dr. Fudenberg is fine and alive and well, and he called me just 3 days ago, and I'm going to have the pleasure and the privilege to meet him in person the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh,
here
fine.
In Massachusetts.
He's
coming to visit his son, and he invited me to meet me there. He wanted to meet me, and I certainly want to meet him. And it's funny that you brought up this subject at the beginning of this talk, but he is well. He is obviously up there in years, but I agree with you. The contribution he has done in the line of immunology is just incredible.
Well, he's one of the dean of vaccinologists, and the fact that most people have never heard of his work or even heard of him simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today of what the American people think. And I do hope after you've talked to him, you can let us know what he has to say.
I will be delighted to. But as you know, your story is that a lot of the information that's on the Internet is very good information, and obviously a lot of it is also not very good information. But I can tell you that any of us who write on the Internet only publish on the Internet, because we would never be published in the regular mainstream medical literature. It would be impossible for me to have one of my articles accepted, because it is critical and it says a few things that are true. But I can tell you that our peer review is the people, and I I can assure you that I have not received a single complaint about any of the articles I wrote in which somebody found something wrong or a misstatement, because, as you well know, we kind of reference these articles to the hilt to make sure that nobody can find mistakes with them.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I know that you've written articles with at least one article with Dr. Ayub, who's a friend of ours.
That's right.
What's so interesting, you know, is because, you know, what he's been doing and telling the people truth, they've got articles up there, you know, comparing it with black helicopters and people who believe in conspiracy theories. Just one article. Anybody who tells the truth today, why, there is an organized effort, and it's a well-financed effort, incidentally.
Oh, sure.
And
oh,
it,
sure.
It is to destroy and demonize people who tell the truth.
Oh, well, absolutely.
I haven't read anything about you and the black helicopters, but they're
well,
doing
not,
that with
not
David.
Yet. Not yet, but I'm sure it will be around the corner.
In fact, you may even get, as one of my friends did locally here, when she wasn't there, but her children were at home, but she was homeschooling, and they sent a black helicopter to hover right at the window level, you know, with the machine guns bristling, the black helicopter there.
Oh, my God.
For 5 minutes to install fear in them, you know, and first we did a radio program on it. In fact, we even have a four-tape set on the black helicopters, and after that, they didn't want it. The one thing they can't stand is exposure of their diabolical plans. By the way, let's talk about the influenza vaccine.
Sure. Well, I mean, essentially, you know, I'm a pediatrician, so I'm mostly interested in this new craze that we have about vaccinating infants and how did it all start. And, beginning in the 2003-2004 influenza season, so that is, as you know, the influenza season is in October, and we go here till about March. So starting that season, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices suggested that to vaccinate children who are on welfare, who are on Medicaid, who go to vaccine clinics, and provide to them free vaccines for, and these are children ages 6 to 23 months, in other words, under the age of 2, provide them for free vaccine through the agencies, the clinics, and so on. So that was just an offer in 2003 and 2004. And the 2004-2005 influenza season, the advisory committee then went on from an encouragement to make it a true recommendation. And then this season, as you know, it's full speed. I mean, 2005-2006, and again this season, there is a big push. You're hearing all over the place that, you know, children who are not going to receive the flu vaccine are going to die, and so on.
And of course, they know there's mercury in that. They took it out of the childhood vaccine, and they left it in vaccines for children. What sort of madness is that? We're right back here.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
Come and celebrate Hanukkah with the Beth Messiah Congregation on Shabbat, Saturday, December the 16th, 10:30 a.m., located at 8333 Acoma Way. Bring your 9-branch Tanakhias and your delicious latkes. Special guest speaker, Obadiah Frank, author of The Watchman's Cry. Also, a special praise dance with the Daughters of Zion. Call 1-800-205-6245 for more information. And we'll see you December the 16th at Beth Messiah Congregation and celebrate Hanukkah.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
And back here at the American Freedom Network, and I guess he's going back to get us back. So Dr. Yazbek is just saying that now, of course, they're recommending that every child 6 months to 23 months of age receive the influenza vaccine, and I was just commenting that it has a full dose of thimerosal in it. Now, the thimerosal was so toxic that the government said, well, gee, maybe we better take out the childhood vaccines here in the United States, so we'll authorize that, and it'll be gradually phased out. Of course, we're going to leave it in for those little black children throughout the world, because after all, they need the thimerosal to sterilize the bottles over there, but it's all right to take it out here. We're not worried about it here. And of course, if you get in the background of the thimerosal, it's a very, very poor means of sterilizing the solution. It doesn't work. So we have to ask why they're leaving it in. But then the question is, why did they leave it in the influenza vaccine they're going to give to six-month-old children, knowing the potential harmful effect in some of those children? And, of course, even more frightening is they're recommending it for women in the first trimester of pregnancy, when it will do the maximum amount of harm to the child in their womb. Why would anybody do something like that? You pick up the story, Dr. Yazbek.
Well, obviously, we do have thimerosal-free, preservative-free influenza vaccine for infants. And it is available, and it's not very expensive. It's only $2 or $3 more per dose than the regular vaccine. And it is available, and people who, after thinking about it, want to have their children vaccinated, their infant vaccinated, should definitely request the mercury-free. It is available. They're starting to tell people, well, it's not available, therefore we have to have the mercury vaccine available. But indeed, the mercury-free vaccine is available, and as a matter of fact, I can tell you, we're going to have an excess of that vaccine this year at the end of the season. I'm willing to bet anyone.
Well, that's
that
because
there will be an excess, because we're not using enough of it, and while the other is being marketed as being needed because there is no vaccine, no free vaccine.
And the thing is, the average individual doesn't know that they have to ask for it, and the average physician doesn't believe thimerosal is harmful, so he's going to go ahead and give the vaccine laced
with thimerosal. That would be truly unfortunate, because, you know, when we used thimerosal all these years, we did not have thimerosal-free vaccine. But now that we have thimerosal-free vaccine, now that the American Academy of Pediatrics and the CDC in 1999 said that we should stop using it, it is really crazy, absolutely crazy, to continue giving it to infants and or pregnant women or anyone who could be hurt by the mercury. And indeed, I'm not so sure that mercury is safe for anyone at any age, that any vaccine should have mercury, even for an older person. I mean, let us face it, at the end of their lives, these old people are frail and weak, and they don't need any more toxins than any more trouble than they have.
Right.
As a matter of fact, talking about the old people, an interesting study, this is a very serious study. This is from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, of the National Institutes of Health. And this is by Lone Simonson, who is their chief epidemiologist, who in February 2005 published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. So it cannot be a better paper, a better journal, or a better origin of that paper. A fantastic study where she looked at 33 influenza seasons, and estimated the influenza-related death during those seasons. And what you found that, is, as you well know, the vaccination rates of the elderly was about 20% in 1980 and rose to 65% in 2000-2001. So there was a substantial increase in vaccination. So what happened to death? What happened to elderly death during this related to influenza? Well, what happened is that for people who are 85 years and older, so there are two classes here, 85 years and older, the mortality rate did not change throughout the 33 years, the 33 yearly flu season. So on 33 years, mortality rate remained the same. For those 65 to 74, so that's the tier a little bit younger, a little bit more vigorous, the mortality rate has remained the same between 1980 and 2001. That's 21 years, no change. Mortality rate did not change with the introduction of... So this flu-related mortality did not change much. It is about, it's about less than 10% of the total number every winter, winter after winter. Not only that, but Dr. Simonson had a fantastic review of two flu seasons. The 1997-1998 flu season and the following flu season, 1998-1999. During the first season, the strains of the vaccine were totally different from those in the 50 states.
That would do any good then.
Exactly. So actually, the vaccination rate of you know, almost 60% of people, elderly, were vaccinated. It did not get any protection whatsoever. Now, the following year, 1998-1999, the three strains were absolutely perfect. They were bullseye. They were exactly what we found in all the states and the District of Columbia. So there was a perfect match. So which year did you think there were more deaths related to influenza?
I bet it was in the second one.
Well, in fact, there was. There were approximately 5,000 fewer excess deaths in that age group, in the elderly age group, during that season than during the 1998-1999 season. And that was she mentioned that in an interview, and obviously everybody kind of wanted to, you know, shut her up and put her away and so on. But then she saved the day and really made friends with the CDC, made nice, as we say, with children, that she went and told them, well, you know, now that we have failed in this strategy, we need a shift in strategy. And the only way we can assure that is that, you know what we should do? We should vaccinate all children, because it's the children who spread the virus, the flu virus, around. And she suggested that if we vaccinated 70% of school children, the elderly would be protected indirectly without the need for flu shots.
Now, there is a real brilliance.
Wonderful.
This is not doing any good in the elderly. Let's give it to the young children so that we can help the elderly.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, in your introduction this morning, you said that they are pushing it for children 6 months to 2 years. Actually, this year, 6 months to 2 years was last year. This year, the CDC is pushing 6 months to 60 months to 5 years.
So every year, they're going to get their full dose of mercury there.
Well, the children are available. You know, they are there. They're available. They come back for checkups, so it's easy to vaccinate them. Now, interestingly, we had very little publications about the safety of the vaccine. So obviously, this year, because we're pushing, we have this big push. We had a big article that was published and on October 25, 2006, in JAMA, in the Journal of the American Medical Association, about the safety of the injectable vaccine. Now, this article was written by a group of researchers from 8 HMOs in Colorado and the Northwest, and by 4 authors of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention from the CDC. So this was co-written by the CDC, and they use something called the vaccine safety data link. These HMOs have wonderful data on computers that are only accessible to them and to the CDC. We cannot look at them, we cannot analyze them, we only get these studies and we have to accept them as gospel's truth. But interestingly, and this is what attracted my attention to this whole thing, they only examine, now remember they have daily entries into their computers. They only examine from January 1, 1991 to May 31, 2003. Remember that we only started giving it to the welfare children, started giving the flu vaccine in the fall of 2003. So they stopped on May 31, 2003. Now, I can tell you, I may have read 10,000 medical articles, if not more, in my life, or 20,000. I have never seen any study that ever stopped on May 31 of any year. But usually you go from January to January, but it's very unusual to have a study start on January 1, 1991 and end on May 31. But obviously this way, it did not include the influenza season of 2003. And it looked at children 6 to 23 months old, and these people said that there were indeed no medical problems with these children. And they actually said that they reviewed 45,300 plus children, 69,300 plus vaccinations, and that in the largest population-based study, always I like that term, largest population-based study, the safety was fantastic. There were no serious studies associated, no serious complications or illnesses associated with the vaccination.
But of course, they won't let anybody see their material. So how could they possibly publish this if nobody could check out and find it?
Nobody can
see the truth.
Absolutely, and the timing was perfect. I mean, to release this on the 26th of October was like magic. I mean, couldn't have done any better. Now, the only thing that they had not obviously read or seen that in January 25, 2006, there's a huge group of people between who work in Europe, between England and Italy, and they are part of that Cochrane collaboration. And these people have also amazing statistical information, computer, data. And they're part of the Institute of Health Sciences at Oxford University. So it's not really a shabby group. And these people published, these people looked at 34 reports, all the safety reports they could find. 22 of these included live virus vaccines, so they are no good for us. So just imagine that all what we have as far as safety studies about the influenza vaccine in the whole world is 8 studies about inactivated vaccines and 4 studies that look at live and inactivated vaccine, and then 22 that looked at the live vaccine. So only 8 studies that are purely inactivated vaccine.
And that's what we use here in the U.S.?
Yes, the killed vaccine, the injectable one, not the intranasal one.
Okay.
The live one is the intranasal vaccine that we give between the age of 5 and 50 in the United States. And there are a lot of studies about that because obviously people are afraid about the safety of that because you put it in somebody's nose, and then he goes and sneezes, and if he can spread it around. So there's always a problem about live vaccines that are intranasally introduced. But the inactivated studies of safety, there are only 5. And what does the Cochrane collaboration state in that huge study? I mean, huge. They said that the variability of the studies, of the design of the studies, and the presentation of the data, that this meta-analysis of safety outcome was not feasible. Safety outcome data was, they could not really examine the value of what happened. Actually in 2005, this group is headed by Tom Jefferson, had written in The Lancet that when he tried to talk to the vaccine companies, they would not share with him data about safety. So he was a little bit frustrated, to say the least. Well, anyway, keeping that in mind and seeing this last study at the Journal of American Medical Association, I decided to go to VAERS, where now we have a wonderful program in the United States, which is probably the best post-marketing safety surveillance program in the whole world. And it's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, the VAERS system, V-A-E-R-S.
All right, you hold that thought.
You bet.
Back in just a moment here. And the Americans can do that.
Years I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me 303-833-2784.
Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply has something new. We have the finest in gun safes and new and used guns and reloading supplies. Now we have a new state-of-the-art gun range. Yes, for pistols and rifles, a beautiful well-lit 25-yard range with automatic retrieval, with a state-of-the-art ventilation systems. Yes, you can try it before you buy it. We have gun rentals and instructors can be arranged. That's the new Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply and Gun Range. 970-221-5133, 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry. Private instructors welcome.
Veterans, I'm speaking with Jamie LaRue of Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866. Jamie, can a vet use a benefit more than once?
Yes. If a veteran had a house with a VA loan and sold it, he can qualify for a new VA loan.
So veterans learn more about your benefits and call Jamie at Windsor National Mortgage, 970-686-6866.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
The Kelly Healing Arts Center, located in Fort Collins, provides exceptional individualized natural health treatment plans utilizing the best in natural therapies. If you are looking for quality health professionals that will listen to your needs, give honest advice, and provide quality health care, then call 970-223-7425. Again, 970-223-7425. To learn more about the Kelly Healing Arts Center, go to kindermedicine.com. Discover the best of what natural medicine has to offer.
If you're looking for a dependable, reasonable, and honest customer service, you're looking for Josiah Electric, LLC. Hi, this is Michael Pohl, owner of Josiah Electric, a licensed and insured commercial and residential electrical service with 9 years' experience serving the Wyoming, Nebraska, and Denver metro area. Contact us Monday through Saturday at 303-489-2170. That's 303-489-2170. Josiah Electric, service you can be sure of.
Stand back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Dr. Yazbek. And would you like to get out your website and where people can get a hold of your articles?
Well, I don't really have a website per se. I used to write a lot on red flags, and right now the website is down and being is under review and revision, and that's www.redflagsdaily.com. I have also several articles on a British vaccination website called JABS. It's www.jabs.org.uk, and JABS is J-A-B-S. Essentially, I think eventually I will have to really put all of the stuff that we're writing right and left to in one website so that you can, and hopefully when we do, we'll get back to you and let you and let you know. Well, going back to VAERS, to that study that I did, and looking at VAERS, the Vaccine only a small percentage of U.S. physicians regularly report vaccine adverse events. 10, 15, 20% at most on a good day with the sun shining. And actually there are the FDA, the former administrator of the FDA had said that he believed that less than 10% of doctors ever report. The next thing that we have to remember about this is that the fact that a report is filed that something happened to a child within a day or two or three of a vaccination does not mean that the vaccine caused the disease, but every one of these cases has to be examined very carefully. Now, it is important to know that this is taken very seriously by the FDA and the CDC who founded this, because this has helped them, for example, when they saw a multitude of cases of intussusception, of intestinal obstructions and death following the Rotazyme vaccine, the RotaShield vaccine, they stopped that vaccine. They took it off the market. And if you remember, we had several cases of vaccine-induced paralytic polio from the oral polio vaccine, from the oral drops of vaccine, the one we used to have on the sugar cube. And we stopped that vaccine, and we went back to the old-fashioned salt vaccine, which is given by injection. So the VAERS reports have been very helpful to the CDC, and we should take the VAERS reports very seriously. Obviously, when we come up and say that we found something in VAERS, the CDC would always say, well, you know, it doesn't mean anything because this is, you know, a report is a report that you don't know how true it is and so on. It's funny, but they can take it very seriously. They can take their findings seriously and remove a vaccine from the market. But when we talk about the findings, they always find some fault with what we say about our findings in VAERS. But anyway, neither here nor there. I looked at what happened after injectable influenza vaccination of infants aged 5 months to just under 2 years. And I reviewed from 1990 to date. So I did not stop in 2003 like that study in the Journal of American Medical Physicians. And what did I find? I found that there were 446 reports of emergency room visits in all, and 82 reports were filed before 2003. So the majority of the reports, 275 reports, were filed after 2003, indicating the 2 years, the 3 years where we actually have been vaccinating those children, the fall of 2003, if you remember. The next thing, I looked at hospitalization, and I found that now looking at that, just looking at those two things, if you imagine that 82 reports from 1900 to 2003 is an average of 6 emergency room visits per year, an average of 6 per year, that after we introduced the vaccine, there was an average of 140 visits per year in the last two seasons, Now, going to hospitalization, we looked, there were 91 hospitalizations. There were 33 before the fall of 2004. And compared to double that number, almost 58, almost double, the last two seasons. So we're talking in 14, 15 years, we had 33 admissions to a hospital. And then in the last 3 years, we had 58 admissions. We have almost doubled that number.
And that's only in 2 years,
in
3 years at the most.
Yeah, the last two seasons, yeah. There were all of these admissions. So that is interesting. The other thing is that when you put, most kids who go to the emergency room are not admitted. But here, 21%, 58 of those children were actually admitted out of 275 children. So that's a high admission rate. The 1 out of 5 were admitted. So this is a serious, they must have had some rather, substantial reactions of one kind or another to be admitted. Because usually, as you know, we stabilize them in the emergency room and send them home. Now, we come to death. How many children actually died? There were 16 deaths following vaccination. Again, I want to stress that I'm not saying that all of these deaths were due to the vaccine, but one has to examine the possibility that maybe those deaths are related to the vaccine. Now, of the 16 deaths, there was one death in 1994. There was one death in 1998. There were four in 2003. There were four in the 2004-2005 flu season. And there were six in the last flu season. And let's remember that starting 2003, we are increasing the number of kids who are being vaccinated. Now, we're encouraging more people to vaccinate starting the fall of 2003. So four deaths in 2003, four the following season, and four in the past season, and I'm sorry, six in the last season, 2005-2006. Now that we are increasing the pressure on parents to vaccinate and encouraging the vaccination, five of the 10 infants who died shortly after influenza vaccination during the last two seasons, looking at the last two seasons, five of these had received the flu vaccine alone. And the interval between vaccination and death in those five children were 1 day, 1 day, 2 days, 6 days, and 13 days. Now, the other five had received other vaccines, and the interval between death, between vaccination and death were 1 day, 2 days, 1 day, 7 and 5 days. Now, seven of the 10 infants were males, and only three had pre-existing conditions, so that, in fact, only three would have been vaccinated before we started pushing the vaccine. The other seven, who had no previous illnesses, would not have been vaccinated. This is all very, very interesting and really a surprising thing. Now, just put it all together, there must be something that we have to look at those things. Now, I just wanted to go back one thing, Stan, that I forgot to say, is that what were we doing before these years when we were only giving the vaccine to what we called high risk?
Well, that's off. We'll be getting back to that in just a moment here.
You're
the American Jews.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facility. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality product available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Dr. Yazbek, and you, that's Y-A-Z-B-A-K. You can go up and Google in his articles and, you know, on the internet, or we actually made a copy of his latest article, and would it be all right if we sent that out to people if they'd like a copy of it? Dr. Yazbek?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and pick up the story where we left off?
Well, just to tell you about the difference in the amount of vaccine that was used just in the fall of 2004. We're looking at a CDC survey now. This is an official CDC survey. And remember that before that time, we only vaccinated infants who were at high risk, those with congenital heart disease, those with asthma, those with cystic fibrosis, those with, microcephaly or cerebral palsy or prematurity, and so on and so forth. So what were the ratios? These are children that, quote-unquote, were needed to be vaccinated. The ones that we have now, that we are vaccinating now, really are healthy children that, for all practical purposes, don't need to be vaccinated. But these were children that, quote-unquote, needed to be vaccinated. Well, the statistics were very interesting. These are the CDC statistics, not mine. Less than 30% of children at high risk were being vaccinated. Less than 30% of children at high risk were being vaccinated. By the way, that's about the same number of the same percentage of doctors who received the flu vaccine. Is about in Canada, one of the studies about 10 years ago was that less than a third of doctors receive the flu vaccine every winter.
In other words, they don't really believe in it.
Well, I don't know. Either that or they're afraid to get sick or something. Only so less than 30% of children at high risk had been vaccinated. One half of the number of high risk children in the previous year of 2003-2004 had been revaccinated in 2004. So even those who had been high risk, who had been vaccinated in the past, they did not come back to get revaccinated again in the fall of 2004. And then almost 40% of parents of unvaccinated older children in the high-risk category, 40% of those parents whose kids were not vaccinated, still remained unconvinced that vaccination against the flu was necessary.
Maybe they're a lot smarter than the people of the CDC.
Well, this obviously was very disturbing for people in the CDC because, you know, they thought that they wanted to save all these lives and these high-risk people, and they could not. So what they did is that they recommended that everybody, even healthy children who have no diseases, would go and get vaccinated. Now, interestingly, is that we have, for ourselves also, just as that study by Lone Simonson from the Institute of Infectious Disease and Allergies, we had two studies on children. One was a Japanese study published 2 years ago, and they looked at children 6 to 24 months old. This was published in the International Pediatric Journal, and they looked at the study, and they concluded that inactivated influenza vaccine did not reduce the attack rate of influenza A infection in 6 months old children.
There's no real benefit to it.
Nothing. I mean, they looked at, they compared three seasons, 2000, 2001, 2002, had large numbers of kids vaccinated, and compared them to an exactly matched number of unvaccinated, and the incidence of influenza A among the two groups were literally not significantly different. They're very, very similar, very close. And they said it just really did not much. Now,
Do they have the thimerosal in their vaccine? Do they put
that one? Yes. Oh, yes. In India, they do. In India, they still do in all their vaccines, unfortunately. Now, the Cochrane collaboration, again, now this is the group from Oxford. Now, this time, they had much more information about effectiveness. You see, there was not much about safety, but there was much more about effectiveness. So what did they review, these people? They reviewed 51 studies involving 263,987 children. They looked at 17 translated Russian papers, and they analyzed 14 randomized controlled trials and 11 cohort studies. I mean, literally everything that was written on the efficacy of the vaccine in the whole world. And they published all that again in that systematic, that big systematic review that they did in January 25, 2006. Their conclusion that in children under 2, the efficacy of inactivated vaccine was similar to placebo. And that's the exact quote. The efficacy of the vaccine, of inactivated vaccine, was similar to placebo. Now, so here we have a vaccine that that, you know, it really does not work. So whether it's safe or not, if it doesn't work, it is not very good.
Well, the question is it completely safe, and do some children have serious problems because they've taken that? And then we have to ask why the vaccine why the CDC is so intent upon getting us all vaccinated. I have never taken a flu shot. I never intend to. And I know so many people who've taken them, and they kept out with the flu.
Obviously, if it worked, it would be wonderful.
Right.
You know, we have vaccines that work. We have wonderful vaccines that work. So if the vaccine works, it would be wonderful, great. But if the vaccine is useless and then may or may not have problems, why give it to the child? And even if it didn't have problems, why give something that doesn't work? Now, Jefferson, who is the head of that group from the Cochrane Collaboration, then really threw another huge bomb, which, by the way, we have not heard about in the United States. Not a word has been spoken. He published this just October 28, 2006, just 2 weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago, in the British Medical Journal, of all places. And now, in it, he not only panned the vaccine in the children under two, but he literally panned the vaccine, period. And he said, and these are, I have to read these because I don't want to make a mistake.
I'm afraid we're out of time, but we'll let you do that because you're going to be on one of our other programs.
Another time.
Anyway, God bless. Thanks so very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you listen this morning. I understand you're being loud.
Pain. It can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Larry Adams here, always fighting chaos. I invite you to listen to my fun and informative shows Sunday afternoons at 2, often with fun and informative guests, reminding you to please support all of our sponsors and let them know you heard it here. And encourage others to advertise with 1360, the voice of the lion. I would love to meet with any potential advertisers and sponsors. See you Sunday afternoons at 2 for What Now with Larry Adams.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, I'm back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed the program with Dr. Yazbek and the program we had yesterday. And I encourage you to go ahead and get copies of the programs. If you'd like a copy of Dr. Yazbek's article, go up in the internet and type in Dr. Yazbek, Yazbak, and you can actually pull down the article of what you talked about this morning. If you can't get it, I'll be glad to send you a free copy. I want you to read it. I want you to understand. I want you to tell everybody you know. And then, if it didn't do any good, you know, is it completely safe? There is no safe dose of mercury, and they want to give it to your six-month-old child. Why would they want to do that? Because there are evil and wicked people out there. And you listened to my program yesterday. You read our other material. You understand there really are people who want to hurt and destroy our children and destroy their mind, because many of these children cannot manage the mercury, and one in six American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality, and you don't see that in other parts of the world. Why is this happening? The government knows why it's happening. There is a dark side of our government. Most people who work for the government are good people who want to get the truth out, and many times they've actually sent me information so that I can act as a conduit to get it to you. But there is a small group who worship a different God, who have a different dream. If you must get my material, let me suggest our Population Control Agenda material. We have a monograph, Population Control Agenda monograph. It's available on my website. Pull it down, read it, study it, and check out the facts. We have a video or DVD called Planned Population Reduction. Well worthwhile, excellent material there. I summarize this. We have a four-tape set on population control. We have a video on population control. We have a population control special. You need to get the information. You need to get it out. You need to understand there really are evil people, and there really are secret societies in the world today made up of people who worship the prince of this world. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it and read it. And, you know, these people are so blatant, they write down exactly what they're doing. But they figure you're never going to hear about it because they, as a whole, control the media. Just thank the Lord for this radio station and a few other stations around the country that will actually put the truth out. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. Go up and pull down my newsletters off our webpage at RadioLiberty.com. I believe it's June and July of the year 2002. It's on vaccines. Read what we have there. Check the facts out. Check the references. Find out if they have punished the people who have tried to bring out the truth about the cancer virus in the polio vaccine and other similar stories. Go to the book, The Health Century, written by the National Institute of Health. We don't carry it, but Dr. Shorter's book, and find out what happened to Dr. Bernice Eddy, who discovered there was a cancer virus in the polio vaccine. Was she rewarded? No, she was punished. Why would they do that? Well, I believe, of course, they didn't want anybody to know what they were really about. And then, of course, ask yourself, why is there so much cancer today and heart disease? And why is the incidence of Alzheimer's disease increasing so rapidly? And why do so many of our children have asthma? And why do so many have neurodevelopmental abnormalities? And why can't our kids compete effectively? So many of them, when they graduate from high school, when they're tested scholastically and compared with other countries, help us get the truth out. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Again, our number 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at Amerifree.com.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE.